This is the first tape you should listen to. This is the tape introducing the home temple and how you go about going through the diaconate steps and the diaconate training. So welcome to the home temple. Regardless of what kind of education you've had before and what kind of ordination you've had, you are about to undertake a major step in your spiritual life that will consolidate the foundation you've already built and bring you forward onto a profound path of interior development and spiritual service to others. The way of the home temple is the way of the Master Jesus, Mar Yeshua. It is not a dogma. It is not a denomination. It is very authentic restoration of the true and historical spiritual teachings of the Master Jesus and his practices and his work. And it is something that is unlike anything else that exists. You will find that as I give you taped instruction in the history and literature, the Old New Testament and the Intertestamental literature and the Gnostic literature and the Apocalyptic literature and all the kinds of things that we do that would be considered to be academic education, that I am not speaking from an organized lecture or an outline as I would in a class. I am speaking off the top of my head. I'm just going on the basis of inspiration, and one thing leads to another, and it would be very rambling if I were teaching a college class like this, but it's an informal thing. It's like sitting in my house and picking my brains. I have so much education and so much knowledge about these things, I have to start someplace as an introduction, and I have to give you a general kind of background in the diaconate so that in the priesthood studies you can go more fully and more deeply into things. But I have studied these things for a long, long time and read them in Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew, and I have done it in Syriac and a great deal of work on this, and there's no way I can transmit to you all my knowledge. What I'm trying to do is transmit to you the general overall kinds of ideas and views and patterns that will be significant to you and to other people rather than details of scholarly and academic things. So a lot of my lectures are informal, they're off the top of my head, and they're based on 30, 40 years of research and very deep academic research and very respectable academic research. And they are supported by the conclusions of most scholars, Jewish and Christian and others. And it is a way for you to get and assimilate this in an informal way without having to go through formal studies and write a lot of things. Now, you have a series of questions you have to answer. They're at the end of the diaconate handbook. These are the kinds of questions that people will ask you. They're very naive questions. They're simple questions. They're questions of the sort that you know would not be asked to write about in a theological seminary or a graduate program. But they are questions that come up to people and that people need to hear an answer to. I'm asking you simply to write a few sentences about each of these questions. I want to see how well you've assimilated my teaching and been able to grab the ideas and the concepts. And so I'm not asking you to write a thesis on every one of these questions. There's, good Lord, there's 70-some-odd questions. But I do want you to write at least a short paragraph or several sentences that explains to me what you would say to a person who asks you questions like this. Now, if you have difficulty writing, you can send me a tape with your spoken and oral answers to these questions. That's fine. In the priesthood training, you in fact will not be writing me questions and answers. There won't be papers due. Rather, you will be sending me tape of your own presentation, your own lecture, your own ability to deliver a lecture or teaching and so on. So this is the only kind of paper you'll have to write except for your spiritual journal. You will keep a spiritual journal in which you will date each day, not leaving out any day, anything that comes to you and anything that's important about the spiritual exercises I have you do, which are very simple. It's a morning meditation, a very brief morning meditation, and it's an evening contemplation. and you can do more if you wish. Also, as you start to learn to do the liturgy and to develop your skill as a liturgist, any comments that you'd like to make about it at that point, these should be put in your spiritual journal. But the spiritual journal is the other written thing that needs to be turned in. Now, once you have read the initial materials in the handbook, you can go ahead and apply for your subdiaconate certificate and the materials that you need to begin practicing and learning how to do the liturgy. And this is the Eucharist I'm speaking of. And in order to do that, you will need certain supplies, certain materials. You will need to have a chalice and a paten. And these things are very expensive items. If you go to Christian supply stores, you can pay easily $300-$400 for an item like this. I have a way of getting you a very nice little chalice and a paten, which is very traditional because it's actually a Jewish kiddush cup, and so it's really a little closer to the theme of what we're trying to do at a really reasonable price. And you will also need consecrated hosts because you're going to be working as a subdeacon. You're going to be authorized by me as a bishop to handle consecrated hosts and to do what's called a deacon's mass, although you're not yet a deacon, by touching the consecrated host to the sacrament in the chalice that you'll be using. And that's done at a certain time during the time of the consecration, but the entire liturgy is done almost identical to the way a priest would do it, except that in the diaconate, you face the altar and you have no congregation. If you have any congregation, it just is someone very close to you, someone in your family. You are not really authorized to work these rituals for, and liturgies for congregations. This is your practice time. In the diaconate, you learn to do this. Now, it's not just getting the choreography down and the mudras or motions, and it's not just getting the songs down or the intonations that you make when you intone certain parts of the Mass and the motions that you make and so on and setting it up correctly. What you are doing is you are learning how to use your voice, how to vocalize and how to project and how to sanctify and how to work with these things. And you're not ready yet to do this, no matter how experienced you are, to do this particular liturgy with a congregation. Now, what if you're already ordained? What if you've already been to seminary for at least 2 years? We have a fast track. If I can evaluate your transcripts, if you will send to me transcripts of work you've done, I will send you both the diaconate and priesthood materials. You will not have to write me anything, but you will still have to listen to all the tapes and read the materials and so forth. But you won't have to do the academic work on the history and scripture, just listen to the tapes. And you won't have to read the books because you will have already read them in seminary. You will have already done these studies. That's assuming that you go through some kind of a standard seminary education, which includes good education in Old and New Testament. If you haven't received that, if your seminary is a sort of a New Age thing or something that doesn't do that, then you'll have to go through that. But just a little more than the cost of the diaconate, I can send you the materials for diaconate and priesthood, and I'm willing to ordain you at the end of these studies, which will take at least 6 months, to the priesthood rather than going through the diaconate, if you have already a verifiable seminary education, or at least 2 years of that. If you are previously ordained in the not in apostolic succession, That is not really an issue because your ordination will be in apostolic succession. But if you are already ordained in apostolic succession, you are already a deacon or a priest, you will have to obtain letters demissory from your bishop to become my deacon and my priest. Because the way priesthood works is that the bishop is the arbiter of apostolic authority. Only the bishop can ordain, And if you are a priest or you are a deacon, you are an extension of some bishop's apostolic authority. And he needs to transmit or to voluntarily transmit that authority to another bishop, and you will then affiliate with another bishop. So if you are affiliated with some other bishop, you will have to affiliate with me in order to continue in the home temple. So that will require a letter of demissory. If you are in the home temple and you are ordained to the diaconate or to the priesthood and you wish to affiliate with another bishop who's not a home temple bishop, that is fine. We have a policy. We will always give you letters of demissory. That is our policy. However, we choose people that we invite to go on into the episcopate of the home temple from among only those who are home temple priests. So if you've left the home temple priesthood for, say, an old Catholic church or the liberal Catholic church or something like that, you will not be invited to go through our episcopal training program and to become a bishop in the home temple. But this all depends upon what your needs are and your private concerns are and so on. Now, so you may come in without any training whatsoever or with training, without any ordination or with ordination, either apostolic or not. And all of this are, these things are things that we can accommodate. I want to reemphasize some of the things that I have written in the introduction to the studies, that we are an association of diverse, non-professional home ministry practitioners of sacramental priesthood, devoted to the authentic and historical teachings, practice, and stream of human spiritual evolution initiated by Mar Yeshua, the Master Jesus. The home temple is not a Christian church. We are not Christian, even though we are of the priesthood of the Master Jesus. Other than a basic code of ethics, which you must study and understand very clearly, the home temple does not promulgate any denominational doctrine or dogma. Home templars may be Christians, but they may be Buddhists or Jews or unaffiliated with any religion. Christian baptism is not required. But the temple priesthood and teachings do have their historical and philosophical derivation from Mar Yeshua, the Master Jesus, and thus all home templars are students, disciples, and co-workers of the Master Jesus. You must understand that what the religion called Christianity has only nowadays, and really has for a long time, has only formal connections with the ministry and the teaching of the Master Jesus, that much of what he did is preserved in other traditions, including Judaism. And what we call Christianity does not possess Jesus and does not express what was there. And Jesus was not the founder of a new religion or of a new denomination or a teacher of doctrine or dogma. He was a master with disciples to whom he transmitted divine teaching and wisdom. And that is what the home temple is. That's all we are. You can receive this training and take your apostolic priesthood and use it in any kind of thing that is any kind of ministry that is noble and that serves the highest, best, and greatest good of humanity, whether it's Wiccan or Buddhist or whatever else. You may also take this priesthood, whether you are male or female, regardless of your sexual orientation. I want to say that I have included on the first tape that shows you how to do a deacon's mass a lecture by a dear person that I ordained and brought into the priesthood who was gay, but he was not promiscuous. And he was a fine, fine human being, and he was a great spiritual being. And I have wanted to make it very clear that sexual orientation is not an issue in priesthood. It does not disqualify people from being anything, male or female sexual orientation. And this is something that I've wanted to make an issue from the very beginning, because there is too much religious bias based solely upon ignorance and lack of understanding against gay people, just as there is prejudice against women in the priesthood and all kinds of other things. I very firmly and strongly support any good, noble human being, any person who is not a promiscuous person, whether he's heterosexual or homosexual, and who is deeply devoted spiritually, that person is a person that I will lay hands on and ordain. So do take a look at that particular tape. And the Richard gave was asked when he was a Buddhist, and he was at the Land of Medicine Buddha here in Santa Cruz, before I met him, before I knew anything about him, he was expected to die of AIDS within a couple of months. And so his friends asked him to sit down and give them a teaching, give them his sort of last teaching so that they could remember him by it. And he sat down very modestly and he gave a teaching, and it was a beautiful teaching. And it's one that he gave to me later, because after I met him, and he was expected to die any month, we went through some powerful spiritual healing and work, and he survived for several more years quite healthily. And but he finally did die. He was finally succumbed. But I learned very much to respect him and to respect anyone, regardless of sexual orientation, race, sex, anything else, who is a great spirit. And he was a great spirit. So if you have prejudice, if you have a closed mind, if you feel like homosexuals are excluded from the kingdom of heaven and all this kind of fundamentalist stuff, you better take a look at this tape and hear what a great spirit this man was, because I want very much to nip in the bud any kind of idea that the teachings of Jesus are only for people of a certain sexual orientation. Now, you petitioned for acceptance as a postulant, what we call a postulant for holy orders, in your application. And you were accepted when you were accepted into the program. Now, during the time of this postulancy, you are in a probationary period, but you are accepted provisionally into one part of apostolic orders to be licensed as a subdeacon of the home temple. And this is not done with laying on of hands, but as a discretionary delegation of a small portion of apostolic authority to you through a license that I will grant to you. However, you receive this license not now with the first installment or with the full installment that you've now received of the diaconate materials. You must request this when you request your liturgical supplies, which will be sent to you. And then you will be ready to start this. You will need mikveh water. You will need other kinds of supplies to do this, because there is some ritual involved in this. You will have to use pre-consecrated hosts, oils, mikveh water, and you'll have to have the supplies that you need, basic supplies. These will all come to an expense of anywhere from $80 to $120, but that expense will only occur during the diaconate, because in the priesthood you'll be using still these same materials. When you have been finally ordained to the priesthood, you have an option as to what you use. You may put more money into buying your own chalice and paten and invest any way you wish. You are then a free and independent priest. You may not, of course, ordain people. That's, priests are not able to ordain. You can, however, train people for ordination and bring them to home temple and do things like that. But as a priest, you are completely free, much freer than most priests are. Most priests are under the thumbs of their bishops. But I grant you a very free priesthood, and out of those of you who prove themselves in priesthood will be invited people to come into the Synod of Bishops and into the Episcopal training, which is a 13-month process, and join us that way. right now, in the English-speaking world, we have bishops available who can ordain you and work with you, aside from the work you do with me, not only in North America and Canada, but also in Australia and in England. So there's a lot of availability of that. Now, when you have completed the order of work that I will explain to you in a moment, then you will go order these materials that you need to start doing the liturgical work and practicing it. And when you've gone through the prescribed amount of time, you've handed in your spiritual diary, and you have completed the questions at the end of the book, then we will schedule an ordination retreat and seminar with myself and my wife Will and the presiding bishops. And or you may, at your option, if we can't get one scheduled in your area soon enough, you might want to fly out to the West Coast and do it here. And in any case, you will probably meet other Home Templars. You'll receive your final diaconate training in applied priesthood, which is what the what we mean by an ordination retreat and seminar. You will do a vigil, and you'll do a preparation for your ordination, and you'll be formally ordained to the diaconate by laying on of hands. And then you will have authority to do certain things. You can then go on into the priesthood training, which is normally what you would do, and that training builds upon what you already have and what you've learned in this training. And again, contains tapes and videotapes and other things. And there you will learn to function fully as a priest using a freestanding altar and with the ability to consecrate your own elements. You'll still be working with pre-consecrated elements until you're finally ordained as a priest, and so on. When you send in your order for liturgical supplies, you will also sign the statement that you agree to abide by the code of ethics, and you should read through them and the explanation in the handbook very carefully. We are not training you to be professional, fee-charging, money-making clergy. You are not being made a member of the clergy of any church. You are being trained in priesthood, and you can do with it whatever you wish, as long as this is for the service of humanity. And as long as you don't charge people for the Eucharist and for any other religious services you do, you can volunteer, you can have congregations, you can volunteer in a chaplaincy, you can do many other things. It is quite legitimate if you lecture and you teach and you offer lessons and you do other things that you charge money for. That's legitimate stuff that you can do, but not for the sacred services. And for that, you must promise that we will never become a professional priesthood. We will become, just as we have, for example, in Sikhism and in Sufism and many other religions that have done much better at preserving the essence of who and what they are than Christianity has, we will remain a vocational, by vocation I mean spiritual vocation, not professional priesthood. If you do make a transition into professional priesthood, you can be released from this oath and from these vows, but you'll have to go through a process for that, and you can do that. But we do encourage you to see your priesthood as not something that is connected with making money or charging money. Now, there are four areas of applied priesthood that you will study in. The first we call integrative spiritual practices. These you must begin right away. This is the form of meditation and contemplation and keeping the spiritual journal. This you must start right away. Liturgical studies, you will do some study before you receive your materials and your subdiaconate license. And you will learn some liturgics and history of liturgics and so on. Religious tradition and ritual is an area of also applied priesthood in which we will teach you certain things. There's historical categories and so on. and mind-body temple, which for the diaconate consists of one or more tapes, audio tapes, and a videotape showing you some basic important information, is also applied material. It's not anything you take tests on. Now, the academic areas are the historical background of Israel, Judaism, and Christianity, the biblical and related literature, and the historical teachings and practice of the Master Jesus. You have in with your handbook already the material that you will get in the diaconate about the historical teachings and practice of the Master Jesus. To them will be added some tapes. The areas 5 and 6, the background and history, and also the scripture of Judaism and Christianity, is done in two sets of tapes, one of which gives you the history and background and literature of the Old Testament and the intertestamental and pseudepigraphic literature of Judaism and Israel, and the other series of tapes, which gives you the history, development, and literature of the New Testament. These are introductions. They're very informal. They're not based on a formalized outline lecture series. And I'm not reading anything to you except selections from materials. It's a basic overall introduction, and it's a little bit different than anything you may have ever heard before, and I think you'll find it to be very interesting. And from these materials and the books that you will read for these academic materials, you will formulate enough information to be able to answer the questions that are given at the back of the handbook. Naive questions that people may ask you. You need to listen to this introductory audio tape and watch the videotape entitled Liturgics 1 and read all of the handbook materials that come with this installment. And when you've done that, you need to study the morning and evening meditation and contemplation practices and implement them and start right away. And start putting entries in your spiritual journal. Now, before you undertake your study of the authentic Jesus, which you can do at your own pace, and this includes not only the book but several audio tapes, you must start these daily morning meditation and evening contemplation things for at least a week. Get that going for a week before you start this kind of a study. They include about 10 minutes of daily prayer attunement meditation that you must do. And then when you've done that for a week, then go ahead and start the studies of the authentic Jesus and the tapes. Now, when you've developed the daily practice and completed the authentic Jesus as well as the Master's Prayer, which you'll find in these materials, and all these loose leaf studies, you then can order the second installment of the diaconate materials if you've only gotten one installment, along with the consecrated hosts, oils, mikveh water, chalice, paten, menorah, and optionally the Sabbath candlesticks. Or, if you've received the entire thing in one shipment, that's when you can order the consecrated hosts and things and supplies and that you will need in order to start practicing liturgy. So you will have to sign the document that says you accept and agree to abide by the code of ethics and fill out the order form, send it in, and you will receive then your supplies and materials plus the consecration certificate, which you need to go through a certain process in order to validate, which is described in the handbook. Take a mikveh and you consecrate yourself for it. You carry out this formal ritual. When you've gone through the mikveh and signed the subdiaconate license, you are formally authorized to be an apprentice in applied liturgics and to inaugurate your practice of priesthood in holy apostolic orders. Following the instructions for the first mikveh, you then can go ahead and start performing the liturgy, the Eucharist, the Mass. Now, you are going through a period of incubation here. You need to go through the the meditations and the contemplation exercises and the spiritual journal for a set period of time, 6 months. And within that time, you can easily complete all the studies and all the work that has to be done with the academics and listening to the tapes and the practicing. And when that has been done, you can send in your spiritual journal or a copy of it, which will be kept confidential, will never be given to anyone. It will be just simply kept on file, a copy of it here. It can either be an electronic file that you send by email, or it can be sent as hard copy. And when you have sent that in and the questions have been sent in and have been evaluated and we see that you're ready for this, then you will be authorized to go ahead and schedule an ordination seminar and retreat. And as we say, we can do that here in the West Coast if you want to come out or you're going to be out, or we can schedule it when we have some other people in your area. Please turn over the tape.